Many years ago in the LGBTQ community, the word outing became popular as a description of what happened when someone without permission decided to reveal the sexual orientation of another person. It happened to famous and infamous and ordinary people and wasn't very pretty. This morning, I would like to take that word outing out of context and suggest that in a way, this morning, John the Baptist outs Jesus. Y'all were curious where I was going with that, weren't you? I saw your faces. For centuries, the Jews had been waiting for and looking for the Messiah to come. God had long ago made a covenant with King David that one of his descendants would reign forever. But instead, the Romans had ruled the country for many years, and with each passing month of oppression, the longing for the awaited Messiah grew. Imagine their surprise when they heard from John that the Messiah was already there. He said in today's gospel, "Among you stands one whom you do not know, one whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." For at least 30 years, Jesus had lived among the people before John outed him as the Messiah. And I wonder how long Jesus might have lived in such close proximity to those waiting and wanting and looking for him without ever being recognized if John had never said anything. So I wonder, could the same thing be said of us? How often does Jesus walk among us today, simply unrecognized? Once upon a time, there was a monastery which had fallen on very hard times. It had once been a great monastic order. Eventually, people lost interest in spiritual discipline, though, and the order diminished until there were only a few old monks left. Unless something dramatic happened, the end of their movement was surely at hand. The monastery was located in a dense forest, and nearby was a small cabin, and every now and then a distinguished rabbi would come from the city for a retreat at this cabin in the woods. Whenever the monks noticed the smoke coming from that little cabin, they rejoiced knowing that their neighbor had returned for a visit, and they always enjoyed his visits. One day, the abbot discerned in his time of prayer that the rabbi must have held the secret to this dilemma. So the abbot hurried over to seek the rabbi's advice. They visited for some time, as they had done for many years before. They talked, probably drank some tea. They read scripture, and they prayed together. Late in the afternoon, the abbot finally asked the question he had been waiting to ask the entire visit. What can we possibly do to save our order? The rabbi said he did not know, but he did have a message for the small order. And he said the most amazing thing. One of you is the Messiah. The abbot was not at all convinced of that answer. I mean, how could that be? Returning to the monastery, the monks were anxious to hear if the rabbi had had an answer. And so when the abbot told them, they too were puzzled and also very dubious. In the next few days to come, their skepticism wavered a bit. And they began to wonder, though, if perhaps it might be true. Could one of them really be the Messiah? It might be the abbot who led them so patiently. Or perhaps Brother Thomas. He seemed to have the most radiant faith of any of them. Of course, they thought it could certainly not be Brother Eldred, because he was too cranky. Except that quite often he was the one to confront them when they became too casual about matters of faith. And so on and so on, and so it went. Gradually, they also decided, just to hedge their bets, maybe they should treat one another just a little differently. After all, if you are living in community with the Messiah, You don't want to be caught up short, and you want to treat him well. And in the spring, people from the city often came for picnics to a beautiful nearby meadow. They would often visit the monastery while they were there for their picnic, though they thought that the old monks and the few of them left were kind of quaint. After a while, though, people were coming more and more often, and when they came, they started staying longer because it felt different in that place. Something had changed in that monastery. The whole atmosphere was, well, it was attractive all of a sudden. More and more people came until one day a young man inquired if perhaps he might join the order. Soon all the old monks were dead, but it was not before they saw their monastery revived as a result of the rabbi's gift. That story, of course, is taken from The Different Drum by Scott Peck in his wonderful book, The Telling of the Story of the Rabbi's Gift. I tell it this morning because Jesus came to live among us, and that presence transformed forever how people in that community treated one another. Advent is a time when the church prepares to celebrate that Christ came, yes. It is also a season for us to prepare for Christ to come to us again. And I'm also beginning to think that perhaps, and just as importantly, it may also be a time to remember that this happens to us every day, in every opportunity, often without us knowing it. John the Baptist said, "Among you is one you do not know." So think about that. Just look around. What if the Messiah was right here in this chapel? Could it be one of you? Or what about the person that delights and inspires you to live a more compassionate life? Or the person that simply and honestly annoys you and competes for your attention and affection when you would just rather be left alone by them? Or the person that you don't really know, but you have a strong opinion of, and frankly wouldn't mind if they just wouldn't find their way back to church next week. Or maybe the person you have yet to befriend, but don't know how to reach out to. Or what about yourself? I'm serious. What about you? Or you? Or you? What would change in our lives if we accepted the notion that we might be the Messiah? We live in an incarnational faith, a faith that compels us to embrace every facet of our lives, our bodies, our minds, our souls, and to infuse and saturate others with God's love in such a way that everything we say, everything we touch, everything we think, what we believe, what we convey is of God. It's a lofty goal, of course, but it inspires a faith that I believe is worthy of giving one's life to. So how do we do this? Well, from the moment that John the Baptist outed him, Jesus showed us how. Mother Teresa said years ago that people with AIDS are Jesus in a distressing disguise. She was echoing John's theme this morning. Among you stands one whom you do not know. To be perfectly frank, let me say I have known some people living with AIDS that I would never mistake for the Messiah. But I have also known many who have taught me some of the greatest spiritual lessons of my lifetime, including that hope is greater than despair, that life is stronger than death, and that true beauty comes from within. So I invite us to spend this week leading up to the Feast of Nativity next Sunday, staying alert and ready, ready to notice and expecting to see the Messiah in our midst already. Don't be afraid to embody patience with that person standing in that long line in front of you. To exercise generosity as you shop for a present that maybe You'll be inspired to give to someone who doesn't have means to buy a present for themselves or someone else. As you extend kindness by calling a friend or a relative that you have lost touch with or made all kinds of good reasons not to be in communication with, and maybe simply to offer a kind word or some hospitality to someone who needs it. And as you do these very small things, don't be surprised if, in fact, someone you encounter along the way is named Emmanuel, because that's an outing that each one of us needs every day for the rest of our lives. May it be so. Mm-hmm.